Anyhow, so we've been on this series called The Band of Brothers, and and we've looked at David's mighty men, and we've seen some really awesome stories. I tell you, and you know, last week we looked at, or not last week, the week before last, we just looked at David's mighty men. We looked at Benaiah, and Benaiah is one of my personal favorites because he was like David's bodyguard, and he was kind of the leader of like the special forces groups. And so there's a lot of crazy stories about him, but what we've been talking about is the fact that if we are to lean into the greatness that God has assigned each of us as individuals, and the greatness that God has assigned us as a group of men, as a body of believers, then it requires that we learn how to lean on each other and lean into Jesus. Amen. And we talked about how we need each other. And that we want to have an environment where men can be men, where men can lean on one another, where men can be open and honest and transparent, and that where we can be encouraged in our faith. Because I believe God has called us to be a group of mighty men. Amen? All right, well, some of y'all are awake, but anyhow. So, and then we also talked about week four last about, you know, the role of the prophetic voice and how, you know, the gift that the prophetic voice is that many times they can see the greatness that God has put in you. They get the perspective of heaven. They can, that prophetic voice is able to see the riches that God has deposited in you. And you know what? We need to be able to see how God sees us. Amen. We need to be able to see the truth of who we are. We need to be able to appropriate those things into our life. How many of you understand that if you don't ever see yourself the way God sees you, that you're going to be at a major disadvantage in life? Amen? And so whenever we gain his perspective, it becomes very powerful. And so throughout all of this process, we've been looking at two paradigms. And we talked about two wineskins, and it was the law and grace. And see, we will tend to view our sin, we'll view our failures, we'll view our weakness, but we will also view our future from one of those two wineskins. We'll view our desires and the things that God wants to do in our life. We will view those things from either the wineskin of the law or the wineskin of grace. We will appropriate our promise. We'll appropriate that thing, that burning desire that God has placed within us from one of these two. Let me pull this way so y'all can see that a little bit better over here. Can y'all see that over here? Okay. But you see, the law can never inherit the promises of God. If it were true, the Pharisees would have done it. Amen? And so in order really for us to begin to appropriate the promises of God over our life, be it your destiny, your dream, or that I want to say that God-breathed dream, you've got to have the right wineskin. And so whenever you have the mindset that is based on the law, whenever you have that mindset or that wineskin that's based on the law, when you think about your future, you will always take God out of the equation and put yourself at the center. Are you tracking with me? And so what happens is then you take God out of the equation, you put yourself in the center, and then everything becomes about your ability. Everything becomes about your own personal strength. What can I do? What is my ability? Now, so like whenever we look at the law and we look at grace and these different descriptions right here, which mindset do you think is more readily able to inherit the promise of God? This mindset or this mindset? It's pretty clear, isn't it? And so that's a very fast review, but today what we're talking about is truth versus emotions. Truth versus emotions. Never underestimate the power of your emotions. Guys say, I don't like emotions. That's too girly. Well, you know what? Anger is an emotion if that helps you any. If that feels like a more dudely emotion. But see, here's the deal. Men are just as susceptible to making emotional decisions as women are. You as a human being are not void of emotions. Actually, whenever you were created in the image of God, you were given emotions. Emotions are not evil. Even in Scripture, you can see God having emotions. I mean, you can find that easily. That God has emotions. Emotions are a gift. But emotions speak to our perceptions. It speaks to how you perceive the reality around you, though it may not be reality. But emotions speak to how you're perceiving reality. How many of you know that your wedding day was an emotional day, right? I mean, how many of you remember that when your first kid was born, that was an emotional time? The emotions make life sweet. Emotions are not evil, they're just terrible leaders. Right? Emotions are a part of our soul. See, our soul is comprised of our mind, will, and emotions. Emotions are a part of our soul. That's the part of us that's actually created in the image of God. There is nothing evil about emotions. They're just bad leaders. And so here's the deal. It's incredibly important for our life and the lives of our loved ones that we become emotionally well. If your emotions are always out of whack, who's going to bear the brunt of that? Your wife, your kids, your coworkers. If your emotions are out of whack. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. See, the prosperity of your life, the prosperity of your future is directly connected to the well-being of your soul, aka your emotions. When you are emotionally well, you will process life and handle life much better. See, our emotions, our soul, our emotions need to come in under the government of the Holy Spirit. Amen? See, unrenewed emotions will always view the future from the perspective of the law. And so here's what happens to us. One, when we think about our future and if our emotions aren't well, emotionally we will gravitate towards the worst case scenario, everything blowing up in our face. We'll gravitate God being totally removed from the equation, that it all is going to fall on me, and we don't really bring into the equation of what grace can do and how grace can go to work in our life. That's one scenario. The other scenario is that whenever we're not doing emotionally well and we look at our future and we come from this law-based mindset, you know what we'll do? We'll become performers. By golly, if I work hard enough, whip this thing into shape, we're going to get her done. And what happens is that we'll begin to frustrate the flow of grace into our life. When we start to lean into our own strength, we begin to frustrate God's ability to come alongside of us and work. Psalm 127, verse 1, one of my favorite scriptures. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. See, whenever we think about our future, our desires, the things that we want, there's nothing quite so frustrating as the facts that stand before us. Are y'all with me? I mean, you can look at all of the facts. When you think about your future, you think about your destiny, then you start to look at the facts, and that gets really frustrating. It can make us crazy at times. And all of the facts say this can never happen, this can never be. And so somehow or other, we've got to put our emotions under the government of the Holy Spirit and begin to lean into grace and let God go to work. Okay? So I want us to look at, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to look at the leader of this band of brothers, David, and how he overcame the facts, how he overcame emotions, and stepped into a higher truth. And it's that classic story of David versus Goliath. 1 Samuel, starting in verse 17, verse 32. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," referring to Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to go fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth." And so here's the deal. They had spent about 40 days, the Philistines and the Israelites, having a standoff. But like Goliath is taunting them for 40 days, making harassing comments to them. Y'all remember the story? So for 40 days, they're in this standoff. It's highly emotional. And so Goliath, just with his words, is holding an entire army captive. And see, here's the deal. When we give in to the emotion of fear, you know what happens to you is that your enemy will always set the terms and conditions. When God has a totally different way of seeing how to handle this problem. But then David shows up on the scene. And he's like, "Fellas, I got this." This boy shows up, talks to the armies, and says, "Boys, I got this one." Now, if you remember what was unique about David at this moment in time, is that he'd already been anointed to become king and that the Holy Spirit has rushed upon him. The only reason why he was able to see beyond everybody else's emotion of fear is because the Holy Spirit was always already upon him. Amen? So he didn't give in to the gravitational pull of that emotion of fear because the Holy Spirit was in him. Guys, Holy Spirit is in you. You have received the spirit of adoption. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Romans 8:15 says you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. You have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And so David shows up on the scene and says, "Boys, don't worry about this. I got this." He's in a place of faith. But you know what the next thing that happens is David says, Saul, he's saying, "You're but a youth." Saul, Mr. Practical Leadership Guy, Saul makes him look at his own resources. And so Saul looks at him. He perceives David from the outside. "You're but a youth." Was that true? Is there anything that's not true about David being a youth? It is exactly true. But Saul doesn't perceive the higher truth. That he's been anointed as king and that the Holy Spirit resides on his life. Now verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it. Man, that's awesome. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And so what does David do? His perspective is totally different. He brings God into the equation. He sees God as his source, not himself. So under the Holy Spirit in his life and under his personal history with God, how God has given him victory in the past, he looks at this mountain that's before him and he says, this mountain, this Philistine is just going to be exactly like the lion and bear that we've already, that he had already defeated. David had a history with God giving him victory. David came from a higher truth perspective that wasn't giving way to everyone else's emotions. He didn't look at his own capacity. He didn't look at his own strength as being the source. He looked at God being completely on his side. He had the perspective of, with God, all things are possible. See, in a situation where everyone else was afraid of the enemy and people are giving into those overwhelming emotions and the heat of the moment and the heat of the battle, David leads into a higher truth. That God is with him. That this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like that lion and bear. So his confidence is not arrogance. It's confidence. He's not performing. He's just confident in what God is about to do. Verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistines. See, in the day of adversity, and when everything is stacked against you, you will be tempted to go to battle in the strong arm of the flesh, just like David was tempted to go to battle with Saul's armor. And he goes like, you know what? I've not tested this. Saul, Mr. Practical Leadership guy, is trying to get him to lean into something that God never intended. See, David already had what he needed. The Holy Spirit was on him, was in him, in his life. It resided within him. And so because Holy Spirit was in him, you know what he got to do? Just be yourself. He was able to come to the battle. Just be yourself. He's going, boys, I don't fight with all that armor. I don't do that. Man, I'm a shepherd boy. Where I come from, I use a sling. You know, the temptation is that whenever we face a battle, we get tempted to be something that we're not. You know what? Holy Spirit in your life, your relationship with Jesus is what you really need in the battles that you face. And to the temptation to step out and to try to be somebody or something that you're not is usually giving way to performance, giving way to the law that I must be something more, that I'm somehow lacking something. Like that line in the movie Bravehearts. Just be yourselves. It's a great movie, though I can't recommend it publicly. But if you're a man, no, never mind. verse 43. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Is that arrogance or is that confidence? That's confidence. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with the sword, with the spear, and with the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, with the strength of man, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Leaning into a higher truth. That God is on your side. You know what's interesting to me right here? And so David had to go through a series of battles. He had to deal with the emotional heat of what everybody else was facing. At this moment, he's not having to deal with that. He's not dealing with the flesh. He's not dealing with emotions. He's not dealing with Mr. Practical Leadership Dude. He's taking the enemy head on. He's dealing with his taunts, and David's not leaning into his strength right here. He's leaning into the fact that God is on my side. He completely leans in to the Lord. And he says, and you know what? It won't be by the sword that you're delivered into my hands, but he says, all Israel's going to know that the battle is the Lord's. Won't be my might or by power, but by his spirit. Verse 49. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell on his face to the earth. Man, that was hardcore. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and all Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road of Sherim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. So David overcomes the emotions of fear that were resided in the people. He overcomes the flesh. He stands in the face of the enemy. He remains in faith. He leans in to the fact that he believes that God is with him, then he knows that God is with him. He leans into the fact that, man, I've had past victories with God. And just as God has been with me in the past, he's going to be with me today. Guys, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. He is on your side. There's no hoops for you to jump through today. Just be yourself. And just believe God is with you. Scripture says, if God is with you, then who can be against you? Right. Here in David's story, his personal victories, and he goes on and takes Goliath's head, and he gets that victory, and it leads to a national victory. There's an amazing truth here. Your private victories, when nobody is looking, is key to your public victory. See, if you can win with yourself, you can win with your family. If you can win with yourself, you can win at work. If you can win at home, you can win anywhere. See, David leaned into the truth of who God was to him privately. God is with him. And God gave him the victory publicly. You know, God's given me this word the past couple of Sundays during, right after the worship time, of how God is trying to move us from a place of hope and into a place of faith. He's trying to take us really out of a place of just positive expectation. How many of you know having a positive expectation is a really a good thing? But how many of you know that faith is something that's higher? See, faith is something that's based upon your relationship with God. It's something that's based upon that He has spoken in over your life. It's based upon a word that He is releasing into your life. And that's a key to your victory. Right now, I believe God, we are probably all at some level facing a situation. We've got a Goliath in our life. We've got something that's taunting us. We've got, or maybe we have a hope for the future and we're wanting something to work out on in our behalf. But we've been leaning into our own strength. We've been trying to do our own thing, trying to perform, trying to lean into the flesh, lean into emotions, and it's not really working. And we stay up late at night. We can't go to bed. We're anxious. We're worried about this or we're worried about that. Folks, God is on your side. He is with you. But you see, our emotions want to take us right back, make us the source. Our emotions take us to the place of fear and punishment. Our fears and our emotions will take us at many times to not, you know, we've got to perform, we've got to work ourselves up, we've got to work ourselves out. Lean into faith, lean into grace. God is on your side. Amen. Let's all stand and then I'll release you guys to pray for one another. How many of you just be bold right now where you're at and just like lift your hand and say, you know what, I have an area of my life that I need a victory. There's something going on that I need to overcome. Let's just be bold. Yeah, all of us. Yeah, all of us. And so let's just pray right now. So Father, I just declare over these men that God is with you. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That the God that was with David to take on Goliath is the same God, that lives in you. God who saw Goliath fall is the same God that is with you as you stand against your giants. At this day, Lord, we just want to declare, Lord, that we don't want to lean into our own strength. That That we don't want to lean into performance, that we don't want to lean into our own ability, Father, but we want to lean into grace. We want to lean into you. And Father, I pray, Lord, that just right now, that our minds, Lord, would just be invaded with the fact, with the truth, that you are with us. And so, Father, I just proclaim rest over anxious souls, Lord. Lord, I just proclaim rest over just anxiety, Lord, that I'm just not enough. Rest over the fact that I must be more, do more, get more. And I pray, Father, just the rest and the peace of heaven, Lord, just to come over these men, Lord. I pray, Father, this day that your goodness would surround and envelop them. And Father, as that they look at their future and they look at the days to come, Father, that they would see that you are with them right in the middle of it all. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, right now, just a deposit of faith and an awareness of the mind, the truth that you are with us. And we just say no to those emotions of fear and anxiety. You are with us, oh God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.